Peter Lynham.
And how are you today?
Not bad.
Yep, looking forward to your extra chance to catch up with people outdoors.
I've got quite a large outdoor area at my house, so...
Okay, all right, your party can begin.
That's right.
Don't get close, don't get close.
No, we've got plenty of room out there.
Okay, yes. Yes, I'm afraid that it didn't seem to do much for me, but there we are.
Oh, no. Oh, well.
Yes.
Now, Brian Tamaki has been courting the media this weekend and leading people into, I guess, some sort of protest.
Yes. Well, the bit that I'm not quite sure was, did he lead it?
Mm.
Or was it this freedom movement which he is associated with?
Mm.
That led it, and that may well turn out to be rather critical if there are legal charges against him.
Okay.
It was pretty organized. There was like a PA and a little stage and stuff. I thought that was a little bit audacious. You know?
Oh, they were, for sure. No, they set it up as they defied the rules quite clearly. And I'm sure they will in due course be charged.
Right.
But probably they need to wait until temperatures have cooled down a bit. Because Tamaki, in full heat of fury, can be an ugly sight, of course.
Well, so he's not going anywhere, right? It's kind of like they can kind of pin him on that.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Mm. I've just watched a part of his Sunday's talk delivered from his kitchen, in which he's...
Is he cooking as well, or just...
No, his wife is doing the cooking and doing little inspirational talks from the side.
Mm.
Yes, a hype woman.
And it's interesting, Tamaki is surprisingly cool, calm and collected.
Yep.
Not at all bothered by the animosity, but delivering a full-on statement of the deep threats to New Zealand liberties that have taken place under COVID. And so we have turned into a fascist state due to these circumstances.
Is it more about the liberty of the public than an actual COVID denial?
Yes. There's no reference to COVID denial at all so far, mind you. This is 11 minutes into a 54-minute sermon, so
okay.
There's plenty of opportunity.
I did catch some of his chats at the museum, and they were sort of telling people to stay separated and stuff. So it's kind of like, it's almost like they're sort of half in, half out on this whole thing. It's a bit...
I think what Tamaki is well aware that some of his members are getting vaccinated.
Right.
And who knows? He may have been vaccinated.
Can't cast them out, can you?
So what he chooses to see this is as a major risk because of the way in which the state, this is the argument anyway, it's an argument about state freedoms, that the state is becoming more coercive. And, you know, there is some truth in that.
Mm-hmm.
The state has certainly become significantly more coercive. And, you know, his argument is that the panic has enabled an intention of the state to do...
Overreach.
..to move into fascist mode.
Right.
Mm.
Whereas I don't think it's that at all.
It remains... I think it kind of remains to be seen. Like, we have to just see if... these things come back, you know, like there is an issue with government, you know, if you give them an inch, it's really hard to get that inch back. And that is like historically how governments kind of are, because an element of control is probably good, but these are weird times. So it's kind of like...
Yes, these are weird times, and the government rides on a sort of very strong public opinion desire for safety.
Mm.
But what's intriguing is it's left the government... needing more wriggle room than the public wants to give them, because they're very conscious, clearly, that we are not eliminating COVID and we're going to have to work out a new strategy. But we're also going to have to evade the fact that we're going completely against what was previously said.
Right.
And we will clearly head slowly towards more of a British approach.
Mm.
Of the remove and perhaps some American states approach.
We've had a few texts and people just wanting to charge Tamaki for breaking the rules. Take Tamaki down.
Oh,
Brian is a rat, risking it for all of us.
Yes. There's a phenomenal mood around. I don't know how many people have sent me messages today.
Mm.
You know, and I personally, I'm not at all swayed by this. I think his defiance of the law does pose some health risks, and that's the bit concerns me. But goodness me, I've watched plenty of defiance of the laws walking around the streets of Auckland
It's interesting you say that, because that's how I see it. I see it as more of like everybody needs to take responsibility for going to that thing if you went to it, because anyone could have started the Facebook event. And that's all it takes. And then everyone will just jump on board like, fuck yeah, my freedom. Nobody really looks into, a lot of people don't look into who's organising these things, you know. They'll just be like, yeah, mean, I'm going to go do that. I'm not doing anything anyway, and fuck this, you know.
Where does the right to protest sit in this situation, though, when there is health at stake, when there's a potential virus? Obviously, well, there is a virus that could spread and kill people.
This is a proud country for protesting, so it is interesting...
Indeed, and mostly those protests have been in defiance of laws that have been whipped up to stop them protesting.
Mm. Interesting, yeah.
And, you know, there's plenty of example of protesters, take the pacifists in World War II, who were promptly dumped in jail, and now are seen as heroes. And so you can see why Tamaki jumps on this. This is a civil liberty.
He knows he's going to get support, eh? You know, like, there's always going to be the counter.
Mm. It's just what's his motivation? Is it truly, for the liberty of the people, or is it gain members?
How religious is it?
That's what it's very difficult to tell. But I think there is a religious aspect to it. I don't think it's just that. This morning, for my sins, I watched 1.75 hours of Tamaki's mate, Peter Mortlock, for the impact.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
For your sins.
Mortlock, yes, well, because Mortlock is the most self-righteous, pompous, nauseating figure. I mean, when I was writing the Destiny book, my book about Brian Tamaki, most people were happy to clarify statements even though they didn't want to be directly interviewed. Mm-hmm. Mortlock's principle that he doesn't want to be quoted went as far as that he wouldn't even confirm statements that I knew were true, but I just wanted him to say that it was true. Mm-hmm. And in the end, his secretaries confirmed that there were minor details, but I wanted to be sure I was correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Mortlock to a T. That
don't say anything, can't say anything wrong.
Yeah, no, he'll say all that he likes,
right,
that he chooses to say,
but
he does not like the media drawing attention to him.
Right.
He does not. He wants to solely be responsible for his own profile, and he prefers it to be low, on almost the exact opposite reasons of Tamaki's
desire. That's interesting you say that, because somebody's just touched on something I did want to say, and someone said Tamaki is just using this for his political ambitions, and I mean, he's thrusted himself into the spotlight, you know, and he does he does kind of seem like he wants to do something else.
That is true,
you know?
But you must also remember that there's an aspect in Brian Tamaki that he's the Maori coming from outside who has taken on the persona of the downtrodden, and the our voices will never count. And, you know, there's plenty of truth in that in the long history of Maori in the state. I'm quite sure there is an element of the anger at Tamaki that is anti-Maori.
Right. Now, I saw it. Actually saw a lot of Maori people from what I watched of the cover of the protest. There was a lot of Maori people there, and a lot of it was just, my body, my choice type stuff, when it was to do with the vaccine.
Yes, I mean, most of those who are protesting are those who've had run-ins with the state in one way or another. And have no interest in respecting what Grandma State tells you to do.
Already on the outside,
right.
Yeah, it was a few bikers and stuff, you know, like fucking...
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And so their first attitude is defiance of the state, and I'll do it my way. And Tamaki adds to this a religious aspect, but it's a mixed religious aspect, because it's partly to do with the chosen people of God can make up their own minds about what's important and what's not. And the greatest annoyance that he has is not that he can't be vaccinated, he's been pressured into being vaccinated, but that his church is not allowed to meet.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah,
where does Peter Mortlock sit in the mix here?
Him and his wife are kind of a bit of a combo, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well,
we're talking about the City Impact Church.
That's right. In any Pentecostal, there's always...
There's a few of those churches
and
around.
Beautiful wife.
Yeah.
And I think that Peter Mortlock, his position is essentially probably the same without the Maori mix in the story.
Mm-hmm.
David Farrier in his story this morning implied that it's an entirely white church. It's not totally true. In my visit to them, I was struck by how many migrants there were in the church. But you see, they're migrants, they're North Shore-type migrants.
Yes.
So they're Filipinos and they're Asians.
South African.
Types. Yeah, there's plenty of Africans in the City Impact blend.
You had a bloody good barbie in Browns Bay, I'll tell you what.
Yes. But I think that the David Farrier argument is actually an anti-religious argument, isn't it? It's an argument that this type of religion bullies people in, and of course it goes in the wake of the film that was on TV1 last night talking about the big church in Sydney, which was being criticised by the ABC documentary, that it was an abusing church. And there's plenty of hostility around that style of prosperity Pentecostalism. And
there's hostility for me when I see that they're getting, tax. They don't have to pay taxes, but then they can go and claim heaps of money to pay their like CEOs and shit for.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
there was mention of it being a style of church where you check your coat and your brain at the door.
Mm. Yes, but that's simply abusive statements.
Mm. Yes.
I bet there's some pretty smart, clued up people who know how to at least that they watch their money anyway.
Right.
You know, prosperity churches attract people who want to make money.
Will these churches, because I know that they've got like FBOS machines at the thing and probably like a wireless FBOS thing that gets handed around in the shape of a hat that you put the money in. Do they have like an online thing right now going, hey guys, do you, by the way, you know? Just,
oh, of course.
Yeah.
New Zealand was in fact...
we're still keen for that cash.
New Zealand, it was a New Zealand innovator who invented this app for churches to use, online collections. So at the same time, they all press their buttons and use the church's Wi-Fi to make their generous payments, and the number flashes up on the ceiling, I think, though I'm not sure about the latter. Yeah.
Well, Peter, I'm pretty sure you can agree that we haven't heard the last of these churches.
No, I think we haven't. But are we going to go into an era of the wounded, pained, persecuted Brian Tamaki? Because that would be an interesting one.
All right. Well, we'll obviously consult with you, no doubt, when that time comes.
We'll watch with interest. Very good.
Thank you very much, Peter. We'll speak with you next week.
Kia ora, mate.
You're most welcome. Bye.